maybe even starting with Samach Zayin. Okay, we're up to Mizmor Samach. We're finishing this, the third part, part three. Part three, there are two chidushi halacha, but it's very easy. Remember, we're learning pretty much this Mizmor according to the Mahalach of the Malbim. The Malbim says there are four parts of this Mizmor. The first part of the Mizmor is an analysis of Hashem's hanhaga of this world, al derech ha-teva. The second part deals with Hashem's hanhaga every so often in Jewish history we find situations where Hashem intervenes and he does nisim, miracles like we saw, like Yitzias Mitzrayim, Chanukah, and the state of Israel, absolutely. Okay, every so often there are nisim giluyim that take place in this world. Part three, according to the Malbim, was an incredible and mahalach understanding of Menashe. Menashe is his personal account of what happened to him. Menashe was king for 55 years, and after 30 years, he was taken to Bavel, and he was imprisoned, and he was tortured, and he was about to die, and he made a plea bargain with Hashem to release him from captivity, and he'll do teshuvah. And we learned those psukim, and the psukim are very, very, very powerful psukim, because even if you learn not like Menashe, you learn that it's a general discussion of Golus. The psukim there are very powerful, where it describes that throughout Golus, Hashem is continuously testing us. We've always been tested by Hashem in many different ways, and the psukim we learn tell us how Hashem is continuously refining the collective neshama of Klal Yisrael, so that it be worthy of Mashiach. Just Maisa of a similar banim, just as Hashem refined and prepared Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, in the core Habarzel, the Shibud Mitzrayim was a softening, a conditioning of the soul for the Geula. Likewise, the entire process of Jewish history, of Golus, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is conditioning Klal Yisrael in many different ways to be ready, to be worthy of being mekabel the Pnei Melech HaMashiach. Now we come to part four. Part four is a farewell speech, is what's the upshot? What is the bottom line? What is the message? After analyzing Teva, and hug of Lamalam Derech HaTeva, and after appreciating the Kadosh Baruch Hu is preparing us for the Gula, what is the bottom line? What is the takeaway, the message for us? And that the Pasuk says on page 562, Pasuk Hei, Mizmor Samach Vav, Pasuk Hei, Luchu Uru Mif'alois Elokim Noira Alila Al-Bnei, am I in the right place over here? No, of course not. I'm always in the wrong place. The wrong pasuk. I knew something was wrong there. Go page 566. Page 566. Pasuk Tezayin. Luchu Shemu Vasapara Kol Yirei Elokim. Asher Osol Lenafshi. Now this, the interpretation that I can't speak for anyone but myself. Good morning, Ablaza.
Good morning,
Ablaza. Ablaza Bachi. He has a last name, don't you know? And the interpretation that somehow resonates with me the most is what it says in the Mitzudas. The Mitzudas Lishitasa, the author of this Mizmor is David HaMelech, and David is describing the difficulty of Golus, and David Kovir concludes, he says to us, he is speaking to us here today, Tavshin Pei Gimel, and David is saying, Let me tell you something. I have a lot of experience. Trust me. I have all the experience. I'll tell you, just like Hashem, he saved me because I went in his ways. I did what I was supposed to do. I guarantee, do the same. Follow in my ways. If you follow in my path, you'll also have success. Look at the Mitzvah of David, Pasuk Tezayin, on page 567, on the very bottom, Mitzudas David, Luchu Shemu, Omar David, Al yipag libchem milahamin. Do not let your heart be faint from having faith in Hashem. Ki shimu, listen, es asher osel nafshi, umizet haminu, shegam lochem yaseh zos. Okay, trust me, I have all the experience. I've been down this path. I've tested all the waters, and I can tell you, if you have faith in Hashem, and you have fear of Hashem, He will listen to you, and He will help you. He will bring about your success. That's the message. Listen to me. Luchu, go forth. Shimu, listen to me. Va'asapara, I will relate to you my experience. Kol Yirei Elokim, all those people who are fear Hashem, and basically all those people who are receptive to my message. Unfortunately, there are many people in this world that are not receptive to David's message. They don't want to hear, they don't want to know from David. They don't care what David has to say. They think they know better. They have no Yiras Elokim. They think, who knows what they think? Oh, look what goes on in this world. And they're not receptive. But you, Klal Yisrael, you have a degree of Yiras Elokim. Therefore, you're receptive to listen to my message. Trust me. Listen, let me relate to you what Hashem did to me. I had faith in Him. He came to my salvation. He brought about salvation. He'll do the same for you. Asher Osel Nafshi. This approach to Tehillim is a major theme of the Mitzudos David, not other commentators. Other commentators, they read the Pesukim, they tell you all these very nice ideas. It is very important to appreciate what the Mitzudos David is doing for us over and over again. David is saying, I lived a life where I experimented. And I can tell you what not to do. I remember the Balei Musa always says is that what is the right path a person should choose in life? No one really knows. You know, life is very complicated. But one thing I can tell you, I'll tell you what not to do. That I can tell you. You go on the highway, come to an intersection. You can go this way, this way, this way, this way. If you want to go to Lakewood, I'll tell you, don't go that way. Don't go this way. This way, there's a lot of traffic. There are a lot of potholes. There are a lot of police. I'm going to give you tickets. Don't go this way. What is the best way to go? I don't know. There are many ways to go. There are many ways to go down life. But I've experimented with many, many mahalchim, and I can at least tell you what not to do. David HaMelech is doing better than that. Not only is he telling you where not to go, he's telling you where to go. I've tried it all. Waze is not always the best instrument to tell you how to go. Waze sometimes doesn't see the whole picture. What?
It doesn't like the local streets.
I have no idea. I really Waze literally like has a mind to its own. I don't know what it's thinking. You're right. Like, I don't know what it's thinking this time. That they go to the same place, different times of the day. It gives you different ways. Obviously, there's some very sophisticated algorithm that it's using, based upon what other people are doing. It follows you around. It follows other people around. It's very interesting. It's interesting. So there's a lot to learn from Waze. A lot of rabbanim have made a lot of drushes on Waze. Life is a derech, and David is telling you, listen to me, I'll tell you what to do. This is a mahalich b'chlal, it's a whole mahalich in Sefer Tehillim, according to the Mitzudos David. All right, let's see Rashi. Let's just finish up the whole mizmor. Let's just read all of them together in one shot. Pasuk Yitzayin, Elov, to him, pi korasi, to Hashem, Elov means to Hashem, pi, my mouth, korasi, it calls out. The roimam, and there is song. There is praise. There are some better fancy words, which I don't know. Tachas lishoni, under my tongue. This is a poetic expression that my mouth, my peh, is mole of song to Hashem. Pasuk Yudches, oven in. Now this is already getting to some halacha. These are some halachic principles we're coming to now, and the Likutei Shas elaborates upon these themes. Oven im reitzi vilibi. Lo yishma Hashem. If ever it happened that an oven, a sin, if Hashem saw in my heart, Hashem did not listen. Now we'll see, we'll elaborate upon that in a few moments. What basically means over here is that we learn from your principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not hold a Jew accountable for a machshava ro'a. If a person plans to do an avera, and for whatever reason he does not do the avera, he does not succeed, or he, or whatever happens, whatever the reason is, he is unable to do the avera, Hashem does not hold him accountable. There is no punishment for a machshava ra'a, generally speaking. A Gentile, on the other hand, is punished for even for an evil plan. A guy tries to rob a bank, and just happens to be that there are too many police, so he calls it off. Doesn't matter. Hashem holds this guy, the Gentile, accountable for his attempt to rob a bank. By a Jew, Hashem does not hold a person accountable for a machshava ra'a. And the primary pasuk from which we derive that halacha, believe it or not, you came to the right place on the right day, it's this pasuk. This pasuk is the makor for halacha of an avera, im ro'isi vilibi, I saw this machshav in my heart. David said, I may have been planning. As a shocking revelation, David should admit, David would admit in Tehillim that he had a kavana to do an avera, but it says just that. In Aven Imraisi Vilibi, morning of Kalman. Good morning. Imraisi Vilibi, I saw my heart, Lo Yishma Hashem. Hashem will not listen. Hashem does not hold me accountable for a machshava ra'a. Pasuk Yutes, Ochein, Emes. The word Ochein. Against whom?
Against his enemy.
Okay, against his enemies, but it's considered an oven. It is considered, what he wanted to do would be outside of the law. It would be illegal. It would be an avera. And yet he says, Lo yishma hashma, Hashem will not listen. Now we come to the word ochen. Ochen is a very interesting word. It means emes. And that opens up a big topic, because the word emes, there are many words in Tanakh which are translated in English as the truth. And why would we need so many words for a true principle? Something is true, it's true. There is MS. In Aramaic, it's Yatziv. In, we have another word, Biram. Biram is, and I'm sorry, the word Avol. Avol also means MS. So let's count the words. MS, Yatziv. Okay, some of them are Aramaic, so it's not really fair. But MS, Yatziv, Avol. Avol Hashemim Anachnu. What does it mean, Avol Hashem Anachnu? It means the truth is, the truth. Biram. Now, Biram really means but, so let's take it back. Okay. Kushta. Kushta is Aramaic. Kushta means truth. Okay, there are more. I don't have them on my fingertips. But the last one over here for now is the word Ochein. Ochein also means the truth. How do I know? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ochein be'emes. Achein noda hadavar. It is. Where does it say that?
By the Mitzri.
By Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm now in trouble. I got to run away. A fugitive. Achein noda.
Now I see the truth. Why we are
in Golos. Why we are suffering. Achein. So Rashi here translates the word be'emes. Targum as well translates it as bikushta, the emes. So this word means, the word Ochein, it's a powerful word. Ochein, the truth is, Shama Elokim, Hashem has listened. Ha-hikshif b'kol tifilasi. David here is giving us advice, according to the Mitzudais, follow my ways, trust me, I've been down this path, I can give you good life experience. After everything is said and done, Hashem listens to your prayers. The truth is, he's saying, this is a very powerful pasuk. I don't appreciate how powerful this pasuk is. Everything in the Torah is true. If it wasn't true, it would not be in Tehillim. It's a given. There's no way one dot would enter into the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh if it wasn't full, unadulterated truth. So you don't need to say it's true.
No, but you've come to a realization of the truth. That's what it is.
So you suggest the word Ochein means a realization of the truth. It's more than just, it's not just truth, a realization of the truth.
That's what he said, because he just came.
Ochein. You've come to the realization. Okay, he's saying good. Because Ochein means, so what, we have to differentiate between the word MS, Hashem Elokeichem, MS. We have to differentiate between it doesn't say the word MS. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. It does not say the word MS. There's another pasuk that says MS, that we connect it to. But Ochein is suggesting means that it's where a human being comes to the real, it's, of course it's true, but unfortunately we don't always see the truth. When you come to the realization that it's true, then it's called Ochein. It's MS, that is truth in, conceptually, absolute truth, but a concept. But it does not necessarily mean that the person is able to appreciate that concept, the person is able to absorb the concept. For a person to now embrace and to live with that concept is Ochein. It has now come to my attention, I am now fully aware of the MS, Shama Elokim, Hashem indeed has listened to my prayers. Hikshiv b'kol tefilos. How sad it is, a person in the beginning of his life doesn't appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens, and he gets disheartened, and he just quits, and then he lives a whole life, and then he sees how other people, Hashem really listens. And just because Hashem does not answer immediately should not cause a person to give up. Every single tefillah is stored in heaven, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens, and at when it is the proper time, Hashem shows rachamim and answers. Every tefillah is a long-term investment. It's a long-term investment, and the more time you give Hashem, the better it is. Okay, it's like we say. I always like say by a bris milah, you pray for the child the most powerful blessings. Kesheim shenichnas libris. Come on, give the kid a break. The kid's crying from the bris milah. You ready up to Torah? You ready up to sending him to Lakewood? You ready up to a shidduch? Come on, at least give him at least 20 years. And ma'asim tovim, the kid's a baby. What's the emergency? Now you have to be mispalel? No such thing. Adarabba, it's never too late. It's never too early. It's never too early to be misspelled. Even though, what do you expect right now? He's going to get married, he's going to find a shidduch, he's going to have a resume for him already. Ridiculous. Tefillah is an investment. And it's painful to acknowledge that. It's very hard for a person to motivate himself when he's being mispalel, and he knows from experience that it just doesn't happen right away. When a person is mispalel, you don't see results. There's no, we live in a generation today where, you know, if you don't have instant results, forget it. Everything has to be, I want it hot, and I want it now. The microwave generation. Hot and now. And here David says, Ochein, when everything is said and done, I've come to the realization that Shema Elokim, Hashem has listened, Hikshif b'kol tefilasi. Really? David needs to say that I've come to the realization that it's true. David, you did not know that it was true. You thought this was all a fantasy? It's just a game? And yet, what do you learn from this? Even David HaMelech, when he davened, I don't know if you can say this, he's basically acknowledging that the nisyonos, the frustration of Hester Panim are so great, you don't automatically realize that Hashem is listening. You don't always see it. And it's only in hindsight. Only years later, in hindsight, do you really see that Kadosh Baruch Hu, he listened to your prayers, and he did answer your prayers in a very unique way. The last pasuk is Baruch Elokim. This is something. It's almost this would appear to indicate that this mizmar is the end of a section. I didn't really look into this too much. I'm not aware what section we're ending because it's not yet Sefer Shlishi. We're still in the middle of Sefer Sheni. I'm not exactly sure. There must be some section where this mizmar is in, because you don't. Whenever you have the end of a mizmar that concludes with the word Baruch, it's like the Barucha Acharoina. Just the Aliyah, you make Asher Bocha Banu, Asher Nosam Lanu. It's the end of a section. When you have a Baruchah at the end of a mizmar, usually it indicates that we're now coming to conclude a section. I'm not exactly sure what we are including here, but Baruch Elokim Asher Lo Heisir Tzifilasi V'chastoy Meiti, that you did not turn away this needs to be defined. Not turning away my tefilasi and the chasdo, his kindness from me. And let's see the mitzudas to finish up this mizmar. And then we'll see the two halachas that we learned from this psukim. Back on page 567, Pasuk Yudzayin, Elof pi karasi, bo'eis hayisi bitzara. When I was in a difficult situation in life, to you, Hashem, did my path turn. Pasuk, on the next page 569, Viroi mam, roi memus Hashem hoisa tachas lishani. The exaltedness of Hashem was tachas lishani, written in Lemar, siparti, roi memus akel. I always was relating the greatness of Hashem. Pasuk yudches, oven, af. Now here's where we come to the halach, af kesher roisi filibi oven. Even if I had a kavana, an intent to do an avera, im kol ze lo yishma Hashem. What does that mean? Osa atzmai ki ilu lo yishma velo yodea machashavti. Hashem made believe he did not hear and did not know my machshava ki einay mitzoreif machshava ro'ol lemaisa. Hashem did not push away my prayer because of that evil machashava. Now this is something which is astonishing. You really think about it, on a very deep level. You know, if Hashem, if we're being trained again and again and again and again and again, that Hashem sees everything. Hashem, this hashkacha pratis, and everything that you do, every thought you have, every twist and turn that you do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching. And all the Gedolim tell us that in our generation we're so weak. That's why Hashem has created all this new technology where we can get a taste. We all know that wherever we walk, we're being watched. We all know that. It's like the Vipasha. There are cameras literally wherever you go. We all know that when you talk on the telephone, I don't know, maybe you don't realize this, but everything that you say on the telephone is recorded. This is just a fact. Okay? I spoke to someone who works for the CIA. He told me everything is recorded. The only difference is they can't use it against you in court. There's still in this country a Bill of Rights, so they can't use it against you in court. But if they want to know what's going on, the government, that's the way it is. Everything that you say, everything that you do, is we Hashem has brought us to that awareness in order to awaken us to realize that if in this world, man knows every tenua you make. Alachas kama v'kama ben b'nai shel kavach HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything that you do. If that is the case, if a person has a machshava ra'ah, has an intent to do an avera, how can a person ever say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives you? He forgets. How can you say that? If Hashem knows everything that you do, then we're finished. Because every person, ki yetzer leif ha'adam ra min urav. Every person in his mind is suspecting someone else, is thinking about doing avera, ischas v'shalom, and looking upon other people with an ayin ra. If Hashem knows everything that we do, how can a person let go of that fact and just, nothing ever happened, everything is good, Hashem forgives you, everything is, Hashem doesn't know. It's a shocking part of emunah to be able to make this statement. Is that you live a life of incredible hashgacha pratis. Everything that happens, there's an accountability, there's reward and punishment, and yet, a major chunk of our daily activity, probably 95% of our thoughts that go on during the day, are not up to par with what we're supposed to be doing. I know, Hashem is meichel all that. We're so selective. It's just shocking how we're such hypocrites. We are so selective in how we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The little good deed that you do, you open up the door for someone, I'm a tzaddik. A guy could come to shul and there's someone there, an older person, you open up the door, you let him in, you see that? I got my mitzvah for the day, and the rest of the day, every time someone walks into the room, this shmagegi, and this guy, and this ganef, and what does he want from me now? And these are all terrible machshavas. These are all terrible things. And that, we convince ourselves, Hashem doesn't care. Hashem doesn't even know about it. It's a stira. We're living a life of a contradiction. if we so much want to pick and choose from the good things that we think that we do, we daven. Daven is all machshava. It's all prayer. It's all machshava. And, oh, that's good. That goes to Shema. That's recorded. That lasts forever. But all of the other machshavas of where we suspect other people, and when we express in our minds frustration, we go difficult situations, and in our minds we right away, in our minds we talk to ourselves with nasty words and comments and express frustration. Oh, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. It's incredible. I mean, it's either all or nothing. How do we understand this?
So I guess it's not the thought that counts.
Mm. I got to think about that one. I'm not sure I understand that.
When you do something, you create a malach.
So the same way you create a good malach, you create a bad malach. You create an advocate when you do a mitzvah. You create a mekatreg, a kategor, when you have a bad machshava. Yet, this is an incredibly basic part of yados, which is shocking. It's shocking because to make that differentiation just like that is so easy. Is this principle that it says here so eloquently in the Mitzudei David, Ritzoin Eloimar. I mean, the way he says it, if you think about it, is really, really. If someone today would write this, I really think he wouldn't get a haskama. Someone would say this is apikorsus to say this. The way the Mitzudei David says it, Osa Atzmoi, Hashem makes believe. Ki'ilu lo yishma. I never heard this. V'lo yodeya machashavti. Hashem makes believe. He doesn't know it. Today they would say, Hashem knows everything that you're thinking. Hashem knows every little detail of your life. It's just that Hashem has rachamim. Hashem gives you a pass. The Mitzvot of it says it in very powerful words. That Kadosh Baruch Hu is so forgiving in these matters. Hashem makes believe it never happened. He doesn't even know that it happened. That's a very powerful statement. Today, you know, some people, they have this pleasure of chapping other people on things like this. Someone will write a book, and you read the book very. This is not because it's a very good book. So he didn't say it. You know, in just the nuance of language is just not, you know, not perfect. If you'd write, bring this sefer today to Gedolim, I'm sure they'll say, "Read these words." Ritzon Eloimar, Osa Atzmai Kilu Lo Yishma VeLo Yodea Machashavti. Hashem makes believe that He doesn't hear and He doesn't know what I'm thinking. You'd right away they would tell you change it. That's not the way you write. That's not the way you write. Hashem knows. Don't Hashem knows every machshava. It's just that Hashem forgives you because, you know, you're just a person. Lo yasa adam atayv lo yecheta. The way the Mishnah writes it, it's incredible. there is an incredible.
The man who says it gets worse. That's
not.
Hashem oset atzmo ke Elohei ovdei kochavim. This man who said
Yeruch
Hazal, it's unbelievable.
Let's see the album. Which passage are you reading from? Pasuk Oven Uveru Chazal Shama Bitfilosh Imlo Ya Azreu Hashem Yeda Shu Keloke Avuchavim. Oh, very good. Okay. Elohe Avram. That David said in his
tefillah.
David said in his prayer. Okay, everyone look on page 568 in the Malbum. Rav Kalman is pointing us to this Malbum. She Omar Bit David said in his prayer, Shimlo Ya Azreu Hashem. If you're not going to help me, Yeda. This goes back to Lashit Hosai, to Menashe, right? We learned this. This was Menashe. Menashe was indeed problematic. So no, Enecham, this fits. Menashe was a problematic person. Menashe said bitfilah. So we learned this actually last week. Maybe we didn't learn it. We learned another person, the same idea. She'im. Lo Yazreu Hashem. If Hashem will not help him, Yeda, it will be known. Shehu ke lo he ha'ovdei kochavim. Ve'enoi shomea tefila. V'yimkein hoya oz misupak adayin belibo im Hashem shomea tefila. Menashe was still had a doubt if Hashem will listen to him. V'zehu sh'amar hagam shereisi
Adayin oven believe Shinista Pakti im lo yishma Hashem Shiloyhe Manti Adayin Biveur Shashem Shmea Tefila Ochain. Nevertheless, Reisi ki Shmea Hashem Vyoda in Yoni Vigam Hikshu Bikol Tefilasi taketh immediately Shehachi Loisi Lehispalo when I began to pray Vikibalani Vishuva. This refers to Menashe. Indeed, Menashe was a chayti amachte. For 30 years, Menashe was a non-believer. He destroyed Klal, the fabric of Klal Yisrael, to a degree that was beyond repair. But according to the Mitzudois, we're not discussing Menashe. We are discussing David. Menashe, you can say whatever you want about Menashe. The Gemara says Menashe, there's no ein lechelik l'olam haba. Menashe was finished. They pushed him out. Ein lechelik l'olam haba. We're dealing over here with David. Over here, the Mr. David, he says over here very, very, very powerful words, and these words are absolutely. I mean, with the Mitzvah stuff, it's Kodesh Kodesh, it's absolutely true. And if we don't really, I think we're brainwashed basically. We don't. People who ask the best questions are our children, Balei Teshuva, and Gerim. They ask like, oh, that's a good question. How come I never thought about that? They are like very basic. What in the world is going on? Because we're dulled. We hear it the first when we're children, and we're not sophisticated enough to appreciate the depth of what we're learning. And then the next year, we get old. Oh, if it was good enough last year, so it's good enough this year. And we don't really, we're dulled from the questions and the sophistication of Yadus is that Hashem knows and sees every little detail about our lives. And for everything that we do, there's accountability. And yet, when it comes to a machshav ara, the Mitzudas Tavis goes so far to say that Hashem makes believe, I don't know what ever happened. I'll tell you a very good story. I saw this story. This illustrates this point to a degree. It's a beautiful story. I saw this in Mishpacha magazine a few weeks ago. They have great stuff there. You know, you can sit the whole day on it. It's a beautiful story, and it illustrates this point. A person, the story is about, who is the person about? I think maybe Rabbi Nachum Cohn. You know who Rabbi Nachum Cohn is? He's a very holy person, Eretz Yisrael. So I don't know, maybe it's not him. It's about a very holy person that he had a lot of children, and he had a wife that was at Tzadikus. And his mother-in-law, Meir, also had a lot of children still at home.
What was the name?
I don't remember. It's not important who the name is. It's not even important who the name is. Maybe it is important. All right, but right now, I'll tell you the story, then we'll figure out. And he went, this person he married, you know, he was married, and he had, and his wife was at Tzadikus. And every single day, his wife went home to her mother to help her. Because her mother still had young children at home, and they had a lot of children, and there was a lot to do, and her mother needed help. So, but this woman, she also was at a point in time in her life where she also had her hands full. Yet, kibud ein, she went every single day to help her mother. And it got to the point where she was basically losing her mind. It was too much. It was too much to juggle managing her home and helping her mother. So her husband told her, you have to take care of yourself and stop. You do not go to your mother every day. From now on, you go to your mother every other day. Nikanul haba, I'm not letting you go every day to help her. Every other day. Adkan. Okay, so his wife listened. He's learning in Kollel. He gets a message. His mother-in-law wants to talk to him. So during Bein HaSidarim, he goes to his mother-in-law, and his mother-in-law says, you know, my daughter stopped coming to me every day. And I didn't know, understand why. After prying, she finally confessed that you told her, you, my son-in-law, Mayor, told her not to come every day. How dare you? How dare you? You're good for nothing. Mind your own business. Mind your own business. And she gave the mother-in-law gave her son-in-law an earful. So this is a very holy person who he listened. He didn't say a word. He listened. What did he do? He went to his Rebbe. Who was his Rebbe? I don't know. It says there who his Rebbe was. So you want, I'll tell you, find out for you who his Rebbe is. So he went to his Rebbe. So he goes to his Rebbe and he tells Rebbe the whole story, every detail. The Rebbe thinks and thinks and thinks. And the Rebbe says to him, tell me, did you tell this story to anyone but me? Does anyone know what happened here? Your wife, your mother-in-law, you told us, did you reveal any information of what has happened to anyone other than me? So he says, no. I went straight from my mother-in-law's home to you to tell you and ask you what to do. Oh, Baruch Hashem. If that's the case, it was just a, he says, if just the case, it never happened. Listen to the story. It's an interesting story. It never happened. It's just a dream. It's a chalom. This whole thing never happened. It's a dream. Your wife should continue going every other day, like you told her. And this is your mother-in-law. You want to talk to your mother-in-law. You went to the mother-in-law. She cursed you out. It never happened. It was a dream. It was a chalom. Funny story, right? Okay. The Rebbe says it never happened. It never happened. Okay. He goes back to Koilo. Doesn't tell his wife anything. His wife continues every other day. A week later, or maybe longer, he gets a phone call. Someone, your mother-in-law called. She wants you to come. She wants to talk to you. She wants to talk to you. Okay? it's not a chaloyim. It's not a chaloyim. So he goes. He goes to the mother-in-law. And she says, 2 weeks ago, I called you and I said some very nasty things to you. I'm sorry. I have remorse. It bothers me. It bothers me so much what I said. It's so not right what I did. Your wife, my daughter, she has a whole house. It's so selfish of me. She goes on to apologize effusively. So he says to his mother-in-law, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you... You called me? You told me to come to you? It was a dream. You must have thought that you called me. It must have been a dream. I don't know what you're talking about. It was a chalom. That's the story. You can make up the story whatever you want to think. Okay? It's an interesting story. Okay? I know, Baruch, you read Mishpacha. You remember that story? You remember that story? It's a beautiful story. I think there's a lot of depth in that story. Well, look at this. Look at this. Look at this Mesudas David. A person has a machshava ra. I'm going to kill someone. Baruch, you told me that story once. One of your workers saved someone from murder. I'm going to do this. And you're really ready. You're really ready to do something very, very bad. And then, the last minute, whatever the reason is, it doesn't happen. It's a chalom. It never happened. It never happened. So you want to go say to Hashem, Hashem says, if you say it's a chalom, I'll also say it was a chalom. If you don't carry out machshava lemaisa, wow, you're in a good position. You're in a good matziv. You're in a good matziv. It's a chalom. It's a chalom from you, mitzad you. And over here, the Mitzudas David says, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I don't know what you're talking about. You want to come do teshuva for machshava ra? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. It never happened. Nasa atzma ki'ilu eina yodea. Okay, it's like this Mitzvah stuff is like basically you don't even need to do tshuva. We don't necessarily say that. We say that a carbon oila is machaper on hir hur aveira. You have to know what that means exactly. But he's saying of it, the Ribbono Shel Olam is so calm when it comes to machshava ra. I know what you're talking about. It's a chaloyim. It's a chaloyim. Okay, let's move ahead. I want to get to the Likud Shas because that's where the meat is over here. I'm reading the Mitzvah of the Mitzvah of 569, Pasik Chaf, the second to last line, the Chazdoi, the next Dibur Masel, this kindness. Musaf Aloy Heisir Loimar, Loy Heisir Chastoi me'iti, Hashem did not take away his kindness from me, even though I had evil thoughts. V'choyzer l'malo loymar mizeh teidu, ka'asher shama elai kein yishma aleichem.
This goes back to the theme of this is a beautiful approach, a consistent approach in the Mitzudeis David. David is always telling Klal Yisrael through Sefer Tehillim, listen, look at my life, use my life as a blueprint for your life. Even though you make mistakes, you have evil plans, know what? Hashem doesn't consider them. Hashem is forgiving. The same way He was forgiving with me, He will be forgiving with you. Teidu kasher shama elai kein yishma alechem b'tseitzu min hagoyla. And for Klal Yisrael in general, you'll be redeemed. Yechonenu yasa imanu chanina. Hashem will do with us favor. Now let's look over here at two, at the very, very, very important psukim in Maamari Chazal. Pasuk Yud Ches on page 568. On the very bottom of the page, in Likutei Shas, Pasuk Yud Ches. This pasuk, here is where it all comes from, what we've been mentioning. Oven im ro'isi vilibi. David says, let's learn Pasha B'Shad according to Mitzvot's David. David said, if I see within me sin, lo yishma Hashem. Hashem will not hear it. Now, what does that mean? Machshava ro'ah. From here, we derive this basic yisoid. This is a mamish, a yisoid in yadus. If not for this chazal, who says you would say such a thing? I told you, it's a contradiction how we live our lives. Who says you would say this? These are the principles of Judaism. By every Jew, every Orthodox Jew, it's second nature. It's like, of course, what are you thinking? But it's interesting, when you deal with newcomers, with Geirim, and Balei Teshuva, and children, and who think, have a brain in their head, and think, it's a tremendous chiddush, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not take into account a machshav hara. If when you daven, Hashem, the basic davening is 90% machshava. You have to give your words that come out of your mouth some kavana. And the more kavana, the more successful. So why should it be different when a person has a machshava ra'ah to do an aveira? Yet it's second nature to every Orthodox Jew. A machshava ra'ah doesn't count. Only good counts, not evil. Who says? Who says? Why are you so generous with the Ribbono Shel Olam? If you're a real maimin, you can't go live a life of contradictions. Yet, this is a basic yisoid in Yadus. Machshava ra'ah ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa shenemar. This very pasuk. This is the makar. Ein im oven im ro'isi v'libi. David is saying about himself, if I saw in my own mind, I saw that I'm planning, I'm conniving, I'm planning to do evil, lo yishma Hashem, I know that this machshava ra'ah Hashem will not hear. It will not go before Him. Hashem will make believe it never happened. Ve'ela, but there's another pasuk that says, Mani mekayem hinni hine anochi mevi ela'am azeh ra'ah pri mach shivoysam. We have a contradiction. There's another pasuk in Yirmiyah that explicitly states that Hashem does hold the person accountable for an evil machshava. So what is the answer? Everyone knows the answer. Machshava she'oise pri she'kayom machashavtoi v'osa ha'kodesh baruch hu mitzarfu l'maisa v'nifroim mimenu afa l'machshava. Machshava she'ein bo pri ein ha'kodesh baruch hu mitzarfu l'maisa, period. In other words, if a person carries out his evil plan, not only will Hashem punish him for the maisa, Hashem will retroactively punish him for the machshava ra'ah. So in other words, the machshava ra'ah is really there. It doesn't go, it's really there. But if a person does not proceed and bring to fruition, see the word fruition over here is a very good word in this context, because Isa Pri, if the machshava comes to fruition, then not only is he held accountable for the maisa, but Hashem will punish him for the machshava. That's very scary. But if the machshava does not come l'maisa, then the machshava is ki'ilu, would never happen. Now that's also a big chiddush, because a person would say, well, it's not fair. You know, I had a machshava ra'ah, and a machshava ra'ah, you know, I can't control myself. So what do you want from me? The machshava ra'ah person is we're more enosh ki siskerenu. What is a person? And then it came l'maisa, I did an aveira. Okay, so
I understand, punish me for the maisa. I did it in Avera. Whether I caused someone pain, I stole money, I did this, whatever you person did, I get it. I should also be punished for the machshava. Why? It's not fair. Is it really not fair? Or, you see, it forces us to understand the chesed. It just emphasizes the point I was trying to make before. The fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does punish for the machshava ra when the machshava ra led to a maisa. Person can be planning and planning for weeks in his mind how he's going to do the Aveira, and he just can't wait how he's going to be mechalel the Shem Hashem.
Machshava is a plan.
It's a very broad term. It's a very broad term. You can't really define. Every situation, you know, is different. You know, you're dealing with Noshim. So when you talk about Noshim, Machshava has a whole different flavor. When you're dealing with robbing a bank, you know, what does that mean exactly? You go do research the whole day, the best way to rob a bank? You know. It's a very broad term. You have an Aveira. Every Aveira has with it a Machshava. So we think Machshava, you're not held accountable. If you're really not held accountable, and the person, Rahman al-Hassan, does the Aveira, now I should also be punished for the Machshava. Why? A Machshava is a Machshava. The proof is that I did not do the Aveira, ki'ilu. It's as if I never had a machshava. There's a lot of challenging concepts taking place over here. What's going on? We know that our starting point is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a God of chesed. And if the fact that if a person does an aveira and he's punished not just for the aveira, for the machshava also, that goes to show that me'ikar hadin, a machshava deserves punishment in its own right. Because if when a person does an aveira, he also gets punished for the machshava, that's the starting point. That's the starting point, because Hashem is just, Hashem is emes. And the chiddush is that when a person has just a machshava alone, with no aveira, Hashem is moichel. Tremendous chiddush. Because if you're going to tell me that Hashem, the world, the way it's set up, is that a person does not hold a person accountable for a machshava, that it can't be that when a person does an Avera, he should be punished for the Machshav as well. Hashem is not coming to get you unfairly. Hashem can't punish you unfairly. That's not our emunah. Hashem is a Kel of Chesed. So the fact that there is such a thing that a person is punished for Machshava when he does the Ma'isa is a revelation that Me'ikar Hadin, Tzedek, Mishpat demands that a Machshava alone is there is punishment. A person sits the whole day with machshavas rois, that's the din. The din is, you're responsible for your machshavas. You should be punished. The fact that Hashem does not punish us is an awesome, awesome chesed. It's a revelation of the awesomeness of the chesed. And another proof to that is that a goy is punished for machshava. That's what the Gemara goes on to say. By a goy, there is machshava. Okay, now here is something which is very, this I never heard, so this, what?
On the other hand, somebody does Chilul Shabbat, and he didn't mean it, you know, he forgot something in his pocket and he goes outside. It's lo haya machshava, there was no machshava.
Oh, that's different, that's a mesasek. That's a mesasek. That's different, that's totally different.
Machshava makes it, the mas.
A machshava means it's a plan. There is something really going on over here. Well, okay, you need a machshava, but after the person is punished for the act, the person steals, so there's a punishment. The machshava also have to be punished for. Also, we don't find anywhere bidei adam machshava. The punishment of machshava is only bidei shemayim. People, you know, people have agmas nefesh. Every day, person has agmas nefesh. Every day, nothing goes the way you want. That's the life. Every day. Unfortunately, there's so much. What did I do to deserve the Agmas Nefesh? I don't know. But obviously, in the Torah, there's only punishment. The punishment is very specific for a Maisa. Malkois, and Tashlumin of Dal Vehei, and Kefel, Mises Bezdin. All right, let's go now to the next Chazal. Now, this Chazal, this is a Shagin Chazal. I never heard this Chazal. It's in Kala Rabasi. Okay, Kala Masechta, it's one of the small Masechtas. In the back of Seder Nizokin and many of the Shasim is a collection of small mesechtas. They were written by the Rabbanon Savorai. Okay, right before the time of the Ga'onim, they wrote a collection of Mishnayos to fill in some missing gaps. Some missing gaps in Halacha that do not appear in Shas. The Mesechtos Ketanos. And there's a Mesechta Ketana called Kala Rabasi. And the Mesechta Kala Rabasi, it says the following, Hichris Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. This is very, very interesting thing what it says over here, very shocking thing what it says over here, which really changes everything that I thought. Hichris Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah b'arba meos shayfres. He made an announcement with 400 shayfres, which is an expression which means 400 means, you know, 400 is the largest letter in the Aleph base, the last letter. The gematria is 400, it's the most. It means, and a shayfer means we're putting the person in cherem. He's cursed. Blowing of a shayfer connotes a shamta, which means the person is excommunicated. He's going to suffer a curse and punishment. What was the announcement? Shakol ha-makabal kois miyad kala. If a kala, now if I'm not mistaken, this means a bride, which means a kala is beautiful. She's dressed, you know, she's all made up. At her wedding, she is beautified. And she's beautified for who? For her chassan. She's not beautified for other people. She's dressed for her chassan. But if the kala goes around, let's say, distributing wine to the guests, and a person takes it from her and looks at her and enjoys what he sees in a sinful way with machshava isroes, so that's a problem. That's a problem. It's not a good thing to go to an event where the women are dressed, you know, to an extreme which elicits hirhurim machshava isroes by men. So it's discussing this. You think this is a 21st century issue over here? Shakala makabul kois miyad kala, ein loy mechila le'oilam. The person that receives this cup of wine from this exquisitely beautiful woman who hands him a cup of wine, which automatically triggers in a healthy adult male a machshava ra on whatever level that is, okay? This guy, according to the Halakha, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you are toast. You are finished. You're going straight to Gehenna. He made this proclamation with 400 shayfas. Sounds a little extreme. You know why they don't learn this mesachta. Okay? Now you know why you never heard this mesachta. Okay? So the Marisa question is this not shocking what it says over here? Okay, Shemamina. So what does the Masechta Kala Rabasi derive from the statement of Rabbi Loz ben Azariah? You can be certain that by his children's wedding, they had separate seating. Okay? They had separate seating with a big mechitz. I went maybe once or twice to a Hasidish wedding. It is a new definition of what it means, separate seating. Separate, it's like, wow, like mama's separate rooms. With guards. Yeah, with guards to make sure that you don't go, a man
maybe
does not go.
Like Russ, and they have mixed sleeping.
So, ooh, wow.
It blows the whole thing.
It does, you're right. How do you explain Russ? How do you explain David Basheva? She was bathing on the roof. He was looking at her. Listen, Mark, Yehuda and Tamar, we can go the whole day with this. Okay? You're right. Okay? But listen, I come from a world where when it says mixed seating, you know what it means, mixed seating? You know what it means, separate seating, where I come from? Yeah. Everyone sits in their own chair.
Yeah.
That's it. You sit next to a woman. You can sit next to a woman. But separate seating means I sit in my chair, yeah, and the woman next to me is sitting in her chair. That's what I'm used to when you say separate seating. Okay, by the Hasidim, when they say separate sitting means, and you go to this block, this avenue, this address, and the men go to this place, and there's no connection. Okay, so over here you can be certain that Rabbi Elazar, the one who said this, Loz ben Azariah, didn't come from my world. He came from a very different world. Okay, let's go further.
Can you name? Was Amin Hat the Kala was a hostess?
She was distributing wine?
Well, by many weddings, where I grew up, many of the more modern weddings, it was customary that by the su'uda, the chosn and kala would go from table to table and greet every single guest and thank them for coming. You've all been to weddings like that, right? There's no one here in this room that's not been to a wedding where the chosn and kala didn't come to greet you at the su'uda and say thank you for coming. I'm sure what? Everyone has been to a wedding like that, and it's very fine, very nice. But today, in the more yeshivish weddings, this doesn't happen, okay? But then all right, whatever, enough said. We don't have to get into this. That's not the point over here, this is Mamech Hazal. Ein loy mechila l'yolam. So what does the Gemara say? Shema mino, hirur kemay sadami. If you're going to a degree and telling me, what happened over here? Big deal. A woman, a kala, she goes and she gives someone a cup of wine. You didn't do anything. You didn't touch her. You looked at her. I mean, what's going on over here? And you're telling me the most was a hira machshava, which we're dealing over here, a subconscious, microscopic, deep in your subconscious mind was a hira, and you're telling me there's no mechil yoylam. Obviously, even such a mashahu of hira in your deepest subconscious mind is already an avera, and you're finished. Oh, but what about the morning kolal? Didn't we learn over here, Pasuk Yud Ches, where it says, Oven, im ro'isi v'libi, lo yishma Hashem. Hashem doesn't listen to this. Hashem is not paying attention to a machshava. What's going on over here? Ain't tzadik b'aretz asher yastov lo yecheta? A human being is a human being. You let it walk down the street. What's going on over here? V'isal g'daytach, lav k'may sedami, hechi machmiri. What's going on? How could you be so machmir? A kala can't go give you a kosher yayin? What's going on over here? The omri, and to say, ein loy mechila le'olam? I mean, this is fundamentalism over here. This is extremism. So the Gemara says a pelvic thing, and this is very important, you saw it. There are different, it's not all or nothing. See, this is the problem, you know, this is the problem generally in life, is to know where the balance is. Mark the balance. Where is the balance? There are certain things that are not so bad, and there are certain things that you have to be more careful. Lo'olam ein molach, I'll tell you here, lav kemay sedami, dichsiv, like it says, our pasik, avem im re'isi v'libi lo yishma Hashem, v'shone eishes ish dechamir tvei. And eishes ish is different. This is a kala, she has a husband, she just got married, she's an Ashes ish. Okay, you could interpret this as you wish, no need for me to comment here. Enochinami, there are different gedorim. It's not all the same. It's not all the same putting a picture of a 90-year-old woman in a newspaper, putting the picture of a kala in a newspaper. It's not the same. It's not the same. He always talks about this, FJJ. Eidedoime, it's not all the same. You have an Ashes ish, is a dover chomer admoid. Okay, and that's just the tip of the iceberg of the dogma to understand everyone can use your imagination. Certain things are much more serious than others.
Desire.
Okay, there can be taiva in every situation. Not.
No, but you hear what I'm saying? All the other things, it's only the mice that's also. But by.
L'sach eishes reyecha. Lo yisach moid eishes reyecha. You want to say it's found the pasuk. You want to say this is the din of l'sach moid. L'sach moid is even the taiva, even the hero. That itself is an aver itself, which is very hard to control. And where? Only eishes reyecha. It doesn't say lo yisach moid stam, a woman, or a grandmother. You know, it says over here, Eishes Reyecha. There are different gedarim. Not every type of situation is the same, and it requires incredible chokhmah to know the proper balance. When he said, I'm putting you in cherim with 400 shofars, and there's going to be no mechil olam, I didn't say it if the kala's 95-year-old grandmother gives you a kashal yayin. I didn't say that. And I didn't say that if the kala's 3-year-old sister, I was once at one of my relatives, okay? One of my relatives, and it was a little girl, and I don't know, and this little girl I was talking to her face. Could be that I shook her hand. A little girl, how old is she? So one of my relatives said to me, you're going to suffer for this. You don't want to do this. You're going to suffer for this. Like you're going to go to Gehenna. You touched the girl. Not normal. Mamish, not normal. I thought. Oh, 3-year-old girl, okay. It's not all the same. It's not all the same. Aishas ish, stay a mile away. Stay a mile away from an aishas ish. You're looking for big, big problems. I'm not saying you're allowed to go touch a 2-year-old girl either. Chas v'sham. You know, today, especially in today's society, maybe it's even worse in today's society. Got to be very careful today. Okay, don't touch anyone. That's right. Don't touch anyone today. You know, keep your hands to yourself. Absolutely. Okay, we're not talking about touching. Just saying, being in the same room as them, looking at a child. Go look at it. Don't touch. Don't even octopus. May I remember the octopus? Okay, so this chazal is a very interesting chazal. Definitely caught my attention. Pasuk Chaf. Chazal over here, last one over here, Baruch HaKilim HaShaloi Heisrich, Tefilos V'chasam Yiti. Now this is another very important chazal. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Rabbi Ocha Bar Chanina, Chadamar, Eilu Heim Yisudin Shel Ahava, Rachmana Litzlan. People, everyone unfortunately suffers in this world. All different types of suffering. Everyone has a peccal in this world. And but then there are things sometimes a person cannot understand why he suffers, and then it's called Yisurim Shel Ahava. What are Yisurim Shel Ahava? Kol She'ein Bohen Bitl Torah, because a person is not able to function. If Rachmana Litzlan, the Yisurim come upon a person to such a degree where he cannot learn, that's called Yisurim, but that's not called Yisurim Shel Ahava. Whatever that category is. Shenemar, how do you know this? Ashrei agev asher tiasrani ko umi toirascha. We say this naving. We say this. Oh, that's next. That's coming next. First, look for first one line at a time. Go back to the beginning of the pasuk. Rabbi Yaakov Abba, 3 lines from the bottom. No, it's fine. Rabbi Yaakov Abba, Rabbi Di, Rabbi Chiba, Rabbi Acha Bar Chanin, Chalama Elohim Yisurim Shalava. Kol she'ein bochem bitul Torah. Shenemar, Ashrei agev asher tiasrani ko. Hashem brings upon him suffering, and obviously that's what this whole mizmar is. That's what we learn in the beginning, towards the middle of the mizmar, is galus is a conditioning of the soul. Just like in Mitzrayim there was the Kor HaBarzel, likewise galus today is also a form of the Kor HaBarzel, where Hashem is conditioning us to be worthy of the Melech HaMashiach. But if the Yisurim gets to a point where a person cannot function, then that's no good. That's already. It doesn't serve the purpose. And what? When can you make the assessment that we've gone off the rails? That it's no longer productive if a person cannot study Torah, or if a society. Look what happened with COVID. Can you call COVID Yisurim Shel Ahava? Could you call Kavu Yisum Shalava? Is Zoom really there? There was a resumption. Is this the Mema Chazal? Let's read the end. Asher, Umiturascha Salam Denu. Vechadam 1 says, Elohen Yisur Shal Ahava, Kol She'ein Bohen Bitul Tefila. Prayer. Shememar, Baruch Lukim. Asher, over here, our pastor we learned today, David over here is thanking Hashem, and he's saying, Hashem, I suffered quite a lot of my life. I suffered. David suffered enormously. Yet David says, that all of my suffering, I never missed a minyan. I don't know if that's true, but I never missed a tefillah. With all of the suffering, I every day was able to come to shul and daven, or whatever it is. Baruch, and that's what he's saying over here at the end of this pasuk. Baruch Elohim, despite all of the yisurim I had in life, with my children, my health, and the redifas of shol, and dealing with the Knanim, v'chulu, despite all of the difficulties I had in my life, I never lost out on having the presence of mind to concentrate davening. How many people can say that about even just going through the regular routine during the day? Is that the yisurim is not doesn't take away from their frame of mind? Baruch Elokim Asher Loi Heisir Tefilosi. Unbelievable. Yisurim Shel Tefila. Now think about COVID. COVID is not over yet. Rachmana Litzlan. All besides all the death, the horrors that went on, the nightmares, and who knows what the psychological. Besides all the everything, no one knows nothing what's going to be with COVID. But the koich of learning and tefillah was disrupted to a degree that we haven't seen since, you could probably even say since the Holocaust, Rahman al-Islam. I mean, the shutdowns, I mean, well, you can tell me, Zoom? Come on, Zoom to go learn in your pajamas and put this screen on, it was horrible. The learning, especially for the Tinoiko Shel Beis Rabban, and for it was just an incredible, incredible yirida of Yesudin that you can't call, you can't say that the suffering that happened during COVID was Yesudin Shel Ava, because there was no davening and there was no learning. That's a fact. Okay, you're yechidim, okay? Not everyone is so disciplined that they can have such a good tefillah. You know, some people will tell you that they daven even better. I don't believe it, but people will tell you, oh, when there was COVID, I davened at home, had all the time in the world. I daven from beginning to end, really? Okay, you're telling me I'm not gonna fight, but I think the average person had a very hard time keeping up a standard that he knows is proper, and learning as well. It's not the same, it's just not the same. The discipline, there's something, look, I'll prove it to you, look at what's going on now in the world. I'm speaking to someone who's a lawyer, he told me that all of the older people, all of the law firms, he told us, he's a Columbia lawyer. He's now working, started working in the summer. He told me that they told him, you must come into the office. You don't come into the office, you don't get a check. You don't get a money. You're fired. Oh, what about the partners, the people that are, oh, we can't fight with them. They went through COVID. They got used to not coming into the office. They have seniority. They've been here a long time. We can't fight with them. So we let them come in once a week, twice a week, three times a week, and we let them work at home because they, whatever. But you're a first year associate. No. We have dime a dozen who want to work here. You want to work for us? We're telling you right now. You don't come. You don't get paid. And he told me that this is going on in all the law firms. You must, why? Who cares? As long as you bring in the money. Obviously, you learn from the goyim. Ein edoymeh. Coming in, being present to working at home. Even though you'll say, oh, I save on all the traveling time and the fatigue of traveling and this and that. Yeah, but look, I wouldn't know. I'm not a scientist, psychologist to analyze the way the benefits and the mildest nechashrinus. But if you see what's going on in the Goyish world, is we're now the new generation. They're telling them, if you're not coming in, you're not getting paid. And the older people, they don't want to fight with because they already got used to it. It goes to show that there's a realization, ein edoymeh, to being present versus staying at home. And it's a very shocking thing that it says over here, we're learning over here what it says over here coming out of COVID, where it says, this Yisurim Shel Ahava. And Yisurim Shel Ahava, I don't know what it means. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is conditioning your neshama for something much greater, provided you don't break the person, don't crack him up. Don't break him. You need the basic fuel. The basic fuel of a Jew is Torah u'tfila. And when you read this and you look back on a whole, as a whole, I know there's all these beautiful, glorious pictures of all the, of boys in people's basements and Zoom and Zoom and Zoom and Zoom and Zoom. But the bottom line was, on a whole, it was a tekufa of yisurin, of terrible pain in many, many different ways. A lot of death, a lot of sick people, a lot of tzaras. And what do we have from it? Was there more Torah? Was there more davening? No. That was the carbon. There was no Torah and there was no tefillah. We're in a lot of trouble. This is like a real, you learn this pasuk and you learn this pasuk over here. It's a real wake-up call. Something is not right. All right, enough said. Tomorrow we begin Mizmar Samach Zayin. This is the famous Mizmar. We say this in davening. By Mar they say it? Okay. It's a short Mizmar. Tomorrow, Samach Zayin.